policy look like? We are all paying attention, all coming to grips with this terrible flooding that is ravaging most of the country as we speak. Our big hard fact is that the federal government has confirmed that at least 612 people have been killed by the floods. And tragically, that number is still rising. Search and rescue operations continue in all the affected areas. Thousands of other Nigerians are injured. Tens of thousands of homes are destroyed. Hundreds of thousands of hectares of farmland are underwater. And like we heard from the NMA, the Nigerian Medical Association, earlier on the Big Three today, we could have a lot of public health problems on our hands. So for the next hour, I want us to look at this disaster from a policy lens. What could have been done to prevent some of this flooding? What could have been done to mitigate the damage? How should we be handling the aftermath? What policies do we need to start putting in place now to put us in a better position for the next floods, which will come? Don't be bad prayer, you know, that not just the nature of the world at this time. Now, my first guest is a civic technology and public policy expert. He works at the Shehu Musa Yar'Adua Foundation as their director for public policy initiatives. Amara Wankwa, good to have you on the show. Good evening. All right, looks like his mic is muted, but he'll unmute it and say hi. My second guest is a friend of the house. He has a show here. Hi, Amara. He has a show here on Wednesdays. Sure. You listen to him Wednesday afternoons from 2:30. He is an environmentalist, Desmond Majekodumi. Good to have you on the show, Desmond. Good to have you on my show.
Great to be here. Good to be here. Now, I have a question for you.
Oh, God, what's the question for me?
Do you know how to swim? And if you do, how well?
I know how to swim, but not very well. If I were caught in a flood, I'll probably drown.
Because you might have to utilize those swimming skills very effectively in the near future. If, and it's a big, big if we don't do the right thing concerning this floods.
Going forward, Lagos, we also want to hear from you. What are your questions? What are your comments on flood mitigation policy? Those of you who are policy experts, environmentalists, I would love to hear from you on today's show. Men, call us on 0700-993-993-993. Women, call us on 01465-7190. Now, before we go into policy itself, it's a good idea to look at root causes. And this is a question I'll ask both of you. I'll start with Amara and then I'll come to Desmond. The federal government has talked about climate change increasing rainfall. They've also talked about the Lagdo Dam in Cameroon. And I want us to look at both. I'll start with Amara. I'll come to Desmond. What are we seeing in terms of changes to the rainfall pattern? Amara.
Well, what we're seeing is that we're having over time an increase in heavy rainfall, especially in the south of Nigeria. So we're seeing higher intensity rainfall over the last 50 years as measured by NIMET. We're having, even though we're having a late onset of the rainy season, we're finding that the intensity of the rainfall during that rainy season is higher, so we have more extreme weather situations. We're also seeing that the quantity of rainfall is increasing as well. We're also seeing that for some, you know, the end of the rainy season is also extending gradually as well, slightly. So even though the average number of days that we have rain in the country has reduced over time, the amount of water, that's precipitation, that comes down in those fewer number of days is higher. And so as a result, what we have is that there is now a higher threat of flooding, a higher threat of erosion, and a higher threat of other extreme weather events that are associated with the high intensity rainfall.
Desmond?
That's exactly it. She's explained it very, very clearly. But it can also be looked at from a more sort of figurative way. I mean, if you stand under a coconut tree and you send somebody up to just cut the coconut, and you're right under that coconut, and you're sending the person, yeah, go ahead and cut the coconut. And then the coconut falls on your head. you're gonna experience the pains and the effect of that. And this is exactly what we're seeing. We're harming the wonderful structure, the miraculous structure of this earth. Remember, this earth is the only one out of millions that have been observed now that is habitable, that can contain life. And one of the main reasons why the earth can contain life is because of the wonderful structure of our atmosphere. And what have we been doing? Hammering away, damaging the atmosphere to the extent that decades ago, the scientists told us, look, if you continue doing this, you will trap too many greenhouse gases. You will cause climate change, the global warming, because when the earth warms, then you're going to evaporate more water. It's simple science. You learn it in the kitchen. You put heat to water, the water evaporates. Right. And that's what's happening now. Right. We're getting, as our brother said, heavy, heavy rainfall is coming now because of what we've done to the environment, to the climate.
Amara, at a practical level, what should the federal and state governments be doing to help them better understand how climate change is changing water levels and flood patterns? What data should they be collecting? How should they be collecting it? Amara, I'll ask you first, then Desmond as well. Amara?
I think first of all, they need to start paying attention. Because I think the data is already there. And I think this is not a new issue. This is not something that just happened yesterday, and we are now trying to evolve a data collection mechanism. We had floods in 2012 that were devastating. I think 300 people died. Over 1.5 million people were displaced. We had floods in 2017 that were also devastating. We had devastating floods in 2019. So we've had at least hugely. I mean, this flood happens every year, but devastating levels of this disaster to learn from. And so we need to start listening to the people who have experienced this thing, but also people who have been talking about this thing for years. Nigeria has had a national adaptation, climate adaptation plan for youngers. We've had one since 2001. We've had, we've revised it several times. And what it told us is that in every scenario that was run in a simulator, 41% of Nigeria will experience more rainfall. About 20% will experience stable rainfall. And I think another 15% will experience, you know, less rainfall. And the rest is uncertain. So we know this. And we know that the risk areas are around the water basin. So we've mapped out, if you look at some of the documents that are in the National Adaptation Plan, there's actually a map of all the various areas, all the local governments and the states that are at risk of flooding when we have these issues. And there is no surprise that these are the places where these floods have emerged. In fact, if you go to these places after the flood recedes, you will see the markings of where the flood reached in 2012. You see the one for 2017. You will see, as the water levels, you will see them on the walls because some of them have not been able to repaint their houses. So we have this data. What we are lacking, I think, is in putting the knowledge that we have to work. The actual infrastructure build strategies, policies that benefit the people who are in the way of the water. Now, every time this happens, it just happens that it catches us, as if it catches us by surprise. But we've known that there is a potential for flooding around the Lake Chad Basin, at least since 1980. We've promised ourselves that we'll build a dam in Foforet local government in Adamawa State. We haven't done that. We have other dams, several dams that have been planned all along the Benue Basin to manage the tributaries and to manage flood waters. We haven't built those ones. And so I think this is what we need to do, is to stop talking and stop, politicizing the issue or debating this issue, whether who's to blame. Let's start doing something. We can see the number of Nigerians that are affected. We can see the number of local governments who are affected. We can see how, even for Abuja, there was fuel scarcity as a result of the failure of the roads, the flooding of the roads. So we are all in this together. Anything that affects these important arteries across Nigeria will eventually get to all of us. So I think we need to start using the information that we have, the data that we already have, that we've collected and we've studied over years, to start doing something meaningful.
Okay. Desmond, do you agree that the data exists and so enough talk and more action? Or do you think that perhaps there are things that at state and local level local government levels, there may be some blind spots, and so, you know, there are some suggestions that you could make as an environmentalist? Desmond?
Yeah, very good question. The knowledge has been there. We know what's going on. You know, the data has been there. It's been assessed, as I said, decades ago, that you can't continue messing up with a system that has worked for hundreds of thousands, millions of years. This earth is a perfect system that is able to support life. You can't have life on the moon. You can't have life on Mars, on Venus, on Saturn, all the near planets. They don't have in place what the Earth has. And yet, we human beings, with our attitude, we just continued. It's not a new thing. The big problem really started almost 200 years ago with the advent of the Industrial Revolution, when we started burning coal. I say we because the people in England who started it, they're human beings, they're our brothers, whether we like it or not. The difference between us and them is very, very small when you look at the genetic footprint, okay? Caucasian, Negro, it's less than 1%. Do you know that? 99% is all the same. Anyway, so they started it 200 years ago, burning the coal, and they realized, oh, when you burn this coal, it gives us this soot, and this soot is very bad for the health. So they started trying to change it and adapt to it. They couldn't do the right thing. And then they now started with oil, and they started burning diesel, and they started burning petrol, which didn't look as bad as burning the coal. The soot wasn't as black, but it was just as deadly. So they continued. Anyway, eventually science started telling them the reality about almost 40 years ago. The scientists said, no, you got to stop this. There's a certain balance of gases in the atmosphere. You have carbon dioxide, you have neon, you have carbon monoxide, you have methane, different gases in there with different roles to play. Some of those gases, they contain the heat from the sun, but they allow a lot of the heat to go back. So because of this, massive millions and millions of tons of these gases were pouring into the atmosphere, we started trapping more and more heat. And then it was about 20 years ago when the scientists had very, very accurate records. They started panicking and they said, look, we must do something about this. And about 10 years ago, the whole world got together in Paris. They said, okay, we shall reduce the greenhouse gases. We shall reduce it. And guess what? By 2021, it had never been so high. So the knowledge for what to do has been there. The knowledge for what to do in Nigeria has also been there. We've known about this. We attended that conference in 2015. We signed treaties. I said, yeah, we will plant millions of trees. And you see, that's one area where you could actually get a very positive solution. And that's also a part of the problem. Because not only, as our brother has said, have we increased the volume of the rain, that is in terms of, rain that could fall in 3 weeks, it can fall in 2 days now. Not only have we done that, but we've also destroyed the natural systems, because nature herself is a perfect entity, and she has systems in place that will generally absorb a lot of those floods. Because over the years, you will have certain years that will give a little bit of extra rain when you have what they call the El Nino. It's, you know, it's quite deep science. Sometimes the earth gets a little warmer naturally, then it goes back to its average temperature. Nature would absorb these things with the trees. Not only would the trees help to absorb the rain, they also stabilize the soil by the riverbed. So what's happened now? We've wiped out so many of the trees. Sandra, do you know that Nigeria only has about 5% of the original rainforest because we've cut it down because it's money, man, and we got to make money. And that's part of the reason why we haven't stopped the pollution. We got to make the money. So the tree's root zone can no longer stabilize the soil. And guess what? The soil now goes into the river. The river now has less capacity to carry the water that it's carrying without letting it overflow. And there's more water. So we know what needs to be done. More dams, but we need to be careful with the type of dams that we set up. And there's also kind of like dredging systems we can do. We can do it. But the question is, will we do it? So the real thing that needs to be done, we the people need to demand of the leaders that you understand what your job description is. You are civil servants. So you better serve the society. Yes!
All right, that's what I'm going to come back to you in a bit. And we will talk about dams. That's coming up. By the way, if you just tuned in, hello to you. Good evening. I hope your day went great. I'm having a conversation with policy experts on the show. I've got the Director for Public Policy Initiatives at the Shehu Musa Yar'Adua Foundation. He's a civic technology and public policy expert. Amara Wangba here. You heard the voice of Desmond Majekodumi just before I came on. Desmond has a show here on Nigeria Info at 2:30 every Wednesday. Desmond is an environmentalist, loves nature, talks about nature every chance that he gets. And so today, when I wanted to take a look at the flooding from a policy lens, I said to myself, well, these are the people to talk to. Today, we're trying to figure out, well, what could have been done to prevent some of this flooding? What could have been done to mitigate the damage? How should we be handling the aftermath? What policies do we need to start putting in place now so that we don't end up here again? Because like Amara Wampa pointed out, we've been here in 2012, we were here in 2017, we were here in 2019, and now we're here again. So we should expect that we'll be here again if we don't do the right things now. Amara, you said that the data is there. From your standpoint, what specific mitigation strategies should be put in place using that data to improve our response?
Okay, so there are two, the mitigation responses fall into two categories.
Okay.
The first is a hard, okay, let me talk about soft engineering because that's the easier one.
Okay.
Soft engineering, we'll talk about, you know, these things are easier to do. So for instance, you can have advanced flood warning. So basically what you do is you give people specific information through radio, through internet, through TV, and through any other listening devices that they might have. And these are people who live in those specifically vulnerable areas. Tell them when the floods are coming, when where most likely the level is going to be, and what specific structures are threatened. Now, this is easy to do because you know, we can model the height of the flood. I mean, in 2019, I think the flood was, 9 meters or something like that. In 2017, it was 11 meters. You can use that to tell, for instance, where likely the water is going to get to when it floods.
Okay.
You can give yourself room for error and so on. And, you know, give people warning in terms of, oh, this is severe warning, this is minor warning. You know, you can even temporarily close certain routes, close down certain things just to prepare for what you call the flood season. Just like how in countries where they have hurricanes and they have hurricane season, they prepare in advance. That's the where the phrase batten down the hatches come from. It's people prepare in advance for these things and they listen in. You build a culture of listening in to find out what is the warning coming, what do you need to do, and so on. And this is not just a prescriptive approach. You are engaging with people and you are giving them regular advice and listening to them as the situation progresses. And that's one way to do. The second thing to do is, where it's possible, you can do floodplain zoning, which is that the places where you know there's going to be possible floods, you zone the kinds of infrastructure that will be there. So for instance, you can zone a particular part and say, look, this is unsuitable for building, no building in this area. Then some part that is less threatened, but it's possible that water can come there, you can say, okay, let's use this for animal pasture. Then upper, you know, climbing up, you can say, okay, this place, we use it as sports fields. And then up and up, you start putting roads and then you go industry and then houses will be last. The idea is that you are zoning the use of areas based on threats. And what that does is that you can be based on the expected water level. You can know what to shut down. So you can say, okay, the water is going to get to this point, we evacuate all the animals. It's going to get to this point, no more sporting activities. It's going to get to this point, no more, we're going to close down these roads. And so this is also an approach. It's called a soft approach. Another thing, and this is something that is very dear to Desmond's heart, is afforestation. Now, the issue is, like he mentioned, the roots of the trees, they help hold the soil together. They bind the soil together. So what they do is that they create some kind of natural embankment floor. They also can channel the water away from places where they will not, it will normally cause damage. So, you know, apart from the fact, you know, so basically what it does is that right from the when the rain starts, it manages the way the water falls on the ground. So it reduces, you know, erosion. It manages and reduces surface runoff, you know. And what it does is that it's able to guide the water. So forests can actually help reduce the risk of flooding.
Okay, so, hold that thought. I'll come back to you in a bit. We have to take a break. We have to pay bills. But when we come back, don't forget what you were saying, because we'll come right back to it. I do like where you're headed. I do like what you're talking about. And Lagos, of course, before Amara will continue, I'm going to give three people a chance to get 5K. Sharp, sharp. But that will happen after the break. If you're still here when we come back from this break, you will win 5,000 Naira from Nigeria Info. Sharp, sharp. Three winners will get it. So that's a way to thank you for sticking around after the break. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. What does sound flood mitigation and prevention policy look like? And my policy experts are on the show today talking to me about it. Amara Wampa is here. We have Desmond Magic Kudumi here as well. And we are streaming live on Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. Lagos, you're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. That was a long one, wasn't it? Now, I said that I was going to reward you for waiting if you waited, and a lot of you waited, so let me reward you very quickly. We've got 5K to give away to three lucky persons. 0700-993-993-993. Wow, almost see my phone lines. So you please listen like this. Hey, women, call us on 01465-7190. You've got 10 seconds to answer the question. You answer in 10 seconds, you get the money. It's very simple. Just one question, and that's it. 5K for you. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
What's your name?
My name is Maybell.
Maybell, have you won before?
No, no.
Okay, Maybell, you have 10 seconds to answer this question. Are you ready?
Yes.
What is centenary?
It's 100
is correct. Stay on the line so that we can get your details. Well done. Congratulations. Okay. 99.3, hello. Ooh, that's that person's a lucky day. 99.3, hello.
Hi.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
Are you here to win money?
Yes, I am.
You're here to win money? Are you here to win money?
Yes.
Yes, you are. Okay, you've got 10 seconds to do it. Who is the current chairman of the African Union? All right, it's good to know your limitations. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. Good evening.
Good evening. What's your name?
Ladi.
You've got 10 seconds. Who is the current chairman of the African Union?
African Union.
Mm.
Ghana, Guinea. I can't remember.
Okay, it's all
Jacob
right.
Zuma.
What? No. 99.3, hello. Hello. How are you?
I'm fine.
What's your name?
My name is Nena.
Nena, who is the current chairman of the African Union? I can hear you Googling and your time is counting. You don't even know how to Google fast. Your time is up. Thank you very much for calling. Okay, I think I've tried my best. I've given one person I've tried. Let me go back to talking about, you know, serious stuff like flooding. Because that one, like Desmond said to us, we have to know how to swim if we don't handle this problem, you know, head on. I've got policy experts on the show with me. Desmond Majikodumi is here. Amara Wankwa is here. Amara Wankwa is the Director for Public Policy Initiatives at the Shehu Musa Yar'Adua Foundation. Desmond Majikodumi is an environmentalist. He has a show here at 2:30 every Wednesday. If you've never listened, today's a good day to listen. Amara, before the break, you were painting a very stark picture for us about what exactly Nigerian leaders need to do with the data that is currently available to improve our response. I particularly liked what you were saying about, well, we know where these things hit. We can do more with our communication about who to move and when. We can do more about our response time, et cetera, et cetera. And that's where you were at before we went on that break. I'm hoping that you held on to those thoughts. Did you?
Yes, I talked about floodplain land zoning.
Yes, you did.
The use of land. Mm-hmm. So you graduate the use of land. Mm-hmm. Closer to the water, you kind of, you know, manage what is used.
Mm-hmm.
And then you move more critical infrastructure like cube homes and so on, industries higher up, higher ground.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about the fact that you could use forestation as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you could basically plant more trees. That's mm-hmm. something that would take at least 20 years. Remember the Chinese proverb said, you know, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The mm-hmm. next best time, sorry, is now. Mm-hmm. The next best time is now. Mm-hmm. So basically, if he's planting trees, we're already 20 years late, but mm-hmm. we can still start now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also one way to do it. I also mentioned warning. So extensive real warning systems, not just, oh, move away, all of you, flood is coming, you know, but more or less telling people this is when the flood is coming, these mm-hmm. are the areas that's going to be affected, this is to the extent which it will be affected, this is a height, this is where you can move, these are the resources that are available to you to enable you to move, and these are resources that enable you to settle where you're moving to. That kind of information, the kind of information as a service to enable people to take action and protect themselves from flood. You know, there's also the evacuation of people. So you can evacuate people from the floodplains and allow the place to flood. So permanently evacuate people from certain parts. So these parts, we know we can't do anything about it. Too expensive moving people and letting them come back.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just permanently evacuate people from there. Let's leave this as just a pure flooding drainage area.
That sounds like it's going to meet a lot of resistance.
Yes, but you see, the good thing about some of these approaches is you can have a mixture of them. You don't just stick with one.
Mm.
So you will find that in some areas, the best approach is to allow it to flood,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
When the flood recedes, you can plant. So you can actually have crops there that can thrive with flooding. So for instance, rice, fish ponds. There are things that you can do around those areas that allows you to use the land in that way. So it will flood, the floods will recede. But you wouldn't have any critical things there that will be damaged by flooding.
Let's leave it at that. that. I wish we had more time, but believe it or not, we're out of time. You know, completely out of time. Completely. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. But I will drag both of you back to the show with me. Desmond is laughing because he knows how it is. I will drag both of you back to this show with me because we didn't even get a chance to talk about the Lagdo Dam at all. But I want to thank you for your time and for your patience. Desmond Amara, thank you so much. And thank you for the knowledge you've shared here today. Lagos, you can find them on social media and definitely find Desmond every Wednesday right here on Nigeria Info. Don't go away, more coming up.
A hero is the one who shows courage and compassion.
A hero shows devotion and determination.